Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Past players. Past legends. Past legends.
Fair enough. And then obviously we alluded before that you got your chance to come back to Norwood and you held that position until 1995. Some memories there?
Yeah. I have very fond memories of that time. I think it was 5 years I was at Norwood. The first two or three were really tough years because I think that was the same time. I started in 91.
Start of the Crows.
And I reckon that was the first year of the Crows.
Yep.
And so there was an interesting time because there were a lot of players taken from the SANFL clubs, you know, to play for the Crows, just the way it was set up. And then, you know, those guys that didn't play for the Crows would come back to your club. And I was a young coach. I was a young, aggressive coach. I was a black and white coach in terms of my thinking.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a fair bit of anxiety created between the Norwood Football Club and the Adelaide Football Club, and then probably most of my doing. So that was a good learning process. And I think when I first went to Norwood as a senior coach, they hadn't been out of the finals for 22 years or something like that. And in my first 2 years, we missed the final. So, you know, with players, you know, going to the Adelaide Football Club and back and forth, we missed the final. So it was a tough period from coaching. And I hadn't had any experience as coach. So in a lot of ways, like I'm flying by the seat of my pants. But once again, to the credit of Wally Miller and the support that he gave me, and the encouragement to keep going and to make some errors, but to sort of to be myself, if you like. We eventually sort of regrouped. I think we played the grand final
in 93 against Woodville West Torrens.
Yeah, and we got a bit of a touch up in that game.
Yeah, I admit we might have gone to the bar a tad early in that game.
Yeah,
Craigie.
Yeah. Yes.
I've got scars of that one too, yes. So it's okay.
So, but once again, you know, in terms of an introduction to coaching, I mean, I couldn't have got a better apprenticeship, you know, and an opportunity to do it because I had to learn on the run and had to learn quickly. So I think I finished there in 95 because I think at that time I was still part-time, the coaching job, and I was at the Sports Institute in Adelaide, the South Australian Sports Institute. And I was tied up with cycling with a guy called Charlie Walsh. And the 96 Olympic Games were happening in Atlanta. And there was some opportunity and pressure to sort of to travel overseas and go to Olympic Games, you know, with my job. So I remember finishing with Norwood. And I reckon I'm 96. I didn't have any footy in 96.
No.
It was pretty much overseas all the time in the Olympic Games.
Describe that experience, Craigie.
Yeah.
Go for it. Describe that experience, the cycling, the Olympics, the whole box and dice. Go for it.
The elite of the elite.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, once again, I've been really lucky. If it hasn't been sort of SANFL or AFL, you know, I've been really lucky through the Sports Institute back in those days. And through, just by chance, Charlie Walsh and Australian cycling, track cycling in particular, to be able to travel overseas and to go to world championships and to, you know, to go to Olympic Games, and to be exposed to a guy like Charlie Walsh. Now, Charlie was way before his time, you know, and I talk about being heavily influenced in terms of the way I think football-wise from the Odie family.
Yep.
I'm just as heavily influenced with the way I think about high-performance sport and the demands of high-performance sport and how to prepare for the demands through my time with Charlie Walsh. Like he took Australia when they were the laughing stock in the world in terms of track cycling. And within 4 or 5 years, they were recognised as the number one nation in the world. So I was able to live that change, if you like, and be part of that change. And so, and whilst you tend not to reflect at the time when I finished with all that, and I reflect back on it, to be in an environment where you went from worst to first, if you like, was a great education. And so once again, my thinking on high performance sport is very much influenced from Charlie, and even now, like, he's sharp in that space, and I love talking to him about that sort of space.
How was it though?
Of course, what you have there is that it's not what you feel really quickly is it's not Norwood versus Port Adelaide at Norwood Oval, you know, which is big.
Yep.
It's now Australia versus the USA versus Germany versus Russia versus East Germany and so forth. So everything goes up a level. The intensity goes up a level. The competition goes up a level. The quality of talent goes up a level. Because it's nation versus nation, you know. And it's not dissimilar now with some of the work I've been doing with rugby, with England rugby and the Wallabies just recently. It's the same sort of on the international stage. You know, it's the stakes just are higher. That's all it is, and the pressure's even greater.
How was it, Craigie, to go from a sport where you're a superstar yourself, involved in footy, you know, growing up with footy your whole life, to go to cycling, to probably learn on the run a bit and all that? How was that sort of philosophy to go from being, yes, listen and learn, of course, but you still were an expert yourself, to being involved in cycling?
Chalk and cheese as far as sports go.
Different, I mean, and all that sort of things.
I guess to answer that, Malcolm, I mean, my professional background, you know, through study at the university, pretty much Flinders University in reality, was sort of in sort of, for want of a better word, in sports science and in particular the physiology, which is sort of what happens to the body when you train and so forth.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough to start at the Sports Institute, and Charlie was the first full-time coach at the Sports Institute. I was the first time full-time sports scientist, so it made sense for those two people to get together.
Yep.
So that was just pure luck, but how lucky was I?
Yeah.
And so I guess what I was able to bring to the sport of cycling was some science and some applied science and sort of, you know, to maybe – add some questions about why you would do that, and are there better ways of doing it from a scientific point of view. So whilst it was a different sport to football, I mean, I was bringing a different skill set to that sport. But even now, I've got a great love for cycling. I mean, I'm still on the bike, and I enjoy riding and watching it on TV. So, but it's really interesting over the journey. You know, you talk about different sports and they're chalk and cheese, and in a lot of ways they are, but in probably 90% of the ways they're very similar. You know, there's a technical side of every sport, so that is different. But in terms of the stresses, the strains, the planning, the vision, the communication, the relationships, they're all exactly the same no matter what sport you're involved in. And so, and that's why I've been able to basically go from, say, AFL, if you like, into, say, rugby and cycling and those sort of sports and still hopefully contribute, because it's, apart from the technical side, the issues and the that you face in AFL are exactly the same issues that you face with cycling, rugby and whatever.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Obviously, being at the Olympic Games for the first time, you know, were there things that you were able to absorb from other countries that you were able to sort of input into your philosophies?
Well, not probably. The quick answer to that, Pete, is no, because you think when you go to Olympic Games that you'd be out and about and looking at other sports and whatever, but it's quite insular. Once you get there, like you go to, you're in the village, you've got your program, so you live in the village, you eat in the village, you jump on a bus, you go to the velodrome, in this case cycling. Mm-hmm. You're competing against nations that you know about anyway, because you know, in terms of your training and you're competing throughout the year.
Yep.
And then when you finish, you basically come home.
Right.
So you don't get a lot of chance to see it, you know, even mix with other sports in reality, because you're so busy, you know, doing.
Probably need to be your sport finished over and done with by the first week to really.
Yeah. Well, even then, the other sports. Yeah. Even then, the other sports, Malcolm, are so busy that, you know, you become a pest if you try and.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of that work is done throughout the year, you know, when you're meeting up, you know, with different nations and of course, through your work, when I was at the Sports Institute in Adelaide at SASSI, you are exposed to a whole range of different sports and different coaches. So, you know, how good's that environment to pick people's brains? You know, and I'm doing some work at the moment through the Australian Institute of Sport, where a lot of it's with head coaches of a range of different sports, and that's a fantastic professional development for myself to be able to talk to, you know, the national netball coach, the national, you know, hockey roo coach, you know, and it just goes on and on and on, diving coaches and you know, whole range of different sports, swimming and so forth. So you do get that cross-pollination, but not so much when you're there in competition because you're so busy.
Yeah, of course. Yep. Good call.
Makes sense. So after the Olympics, Craigie, you've arrived at the Crows and the fitness side of things there in obviously a couple of great years.
Yeah, no, it was when was that now? Let me just think. So 96 was the Olympics?
Yeah, 97, 98, yep.
97, 98, 99 with Malcolm Blight.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
I remember John Reid. I was in Colorado Springs at the time. So it would have been probably June, July, maybe July, August, something like that. And I got a call from John just inquiring about the possibility of doing some work with the Adelaide Football Club after the Olympic Games. Once again, that was on a part-time basis because at that time, 97, 98 in particular, was sort of a transition phase in terms of like going full-time in the AFL.
Yep.
So anyway, that was a great opportunity because Malcolm Blight obviously had come to the Crows. And so to be able to work with Malcolm and, you know, to see how he operates and, we were lucky enough to have some success in 97, 98 and back-to-back premierships. And then, you know, 99 was a lesser year. So, but once again, a great learning year and experience to see how a coach like Malcolm would handle that after the, you know, the success that he'd had. And so he'd come to Adelaide, you know, pretty hardened senior coach because I think he'd coached Geelong. North Melbourne at one stage.
And then Geelong.
And then Geelong.
And, of course, coached Geelong and to, I think, at least two grand finals, yep. but I'm not exactly sure.
Yep.
And lost both of those.
Yep.
And so he came to Adelaide as a really, you know, a highly successful coach, but a hardened coach. So I remember he was one of the things that stood out, that he was absolutely crystal clear on the way he wanted the game played. And he was absolutely crystal clear about the type of player that he wanted in the footy club. And he was like a dog with a bone with both those concepts. But, you know, he brought enormous success to the Adelaide Footy Club. So they were great professional development learning years for me as well.
Did you have to sort of restart that fitness regime with a lot of the players? Because obviously in 97, 98, the Crows were successful on the back of their fitness, really, at the end of the day, that there was a few secret herbs and spices with the training regime through the middle of the year that sort of changed the way that everyone was thinking?
Well, maybe, Pete. But
well, we sold it pretty well, put it that way.
As you guys would know, there's a fair bit of smoke and mirrors involved in high-performance sport and in AFL in particular. So I'm not saying that there wasn't any impact at all. I mean, there's never one reason with any of that about, you know, why teams are highly successful or the opposite, you know, of no success. It's never one reason, and it's no different with the Crows. So, but what I am really strong on is that at the end of the day, what was achieved there was a result, you know, of Malcolm's philosophy and the environment that he created. And that's just the power of the head coach. And so when you select a head coach, select wisely, because it's such an important position.
And his ability to think outside the square, I think, was probably what still sets him apart from most people.
Yeah, so he was but in general, he loved to attack. You know, probably without speaking for Malcolm, I think, you know, he'd say, well, if the opposition kick 25, we'll kick 26. And I think that brought a lot of joy to people, the way the Adelaide Football Club played. But he did, you know, he had some, which most of your absolute best coaches are a bit different, you know, they think outside the square and they look under any rock to look for something a little bit different to keep guys stimulated and find an edge. Malcolm was no different to that. And so, as I said, they were fantastic 3 years at the Adelaide Footy Club.
And then back involved with cycling again with the Sydney Olympics.
That was the Sydney Olympics. So, you know, that was sort of, I finished in 99 and 2000, once again, overseas in preparing for the Olympics in Sydney. And then,
2001, back at the Crows as an assistant under Gary Ayres.
As you know my career better than I do, Malcolm. So as an assistant coach of Gary Ayres. So that was what, 2001, 2003, and 2004.
Yeah.
I think with about 8 or 9 games to go.
Yeah.
Gary left.
Yep.
I was the interim coach. And so for the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 games or whatever it was. And I remember the first game at West Lakes. It was, I think we played the Melbourne Footy Club and won, you know, fairly easily. And so all of a sudden, you know, you're the messiah again, you're the guru, whatever, right? 2 games later, we played the Brisbane Lions.
That was a cliffhanger at the opening bounce. Yeah.
Up at the Gabba. And I think we got beaten by 24 goals.
Yeah.
And I remember arriving back at the club on the Sunday morning, you know, and there's graffiti all over the wall about, you know, Craig this, Craig that, and whatever. Anyway, long story short, once again, how lucky was I that the Adelaide Footy Club had the courage to appoint me as a senior coach, because I hadn't played AFL. And I remember saying to Bill Sanders at the time, look, he said, what about an interview? I said, well, I'm actually doing my interview on a daily basis. You can come and have a look, really. So I'm not going to coach any differently. So, but anyway, the only thing I said is there a prerequisite that you've got to have played AFL to get the job? Because if it is, we might as well finish the interview now, because I haven't played AFL and it's not going to happen.
Yep.
He said, no. And so anyway, they took an enormous gamble on me. And once again, I'm very thankful for Bill Sanders, and then of course Stephen Trigg, and most of my time there was with Rob Chapman and John Reid, who were, you know, highly, highly supportive of myself. And when I look back on that and compare it to other clubs, you know, once you've been to other clubs after that, how lucky I was to be involved with the Adelaide Footy Club in terms of professionalism, alignment about what you're doing, capacity to have tough conversations with each other, but all supportive, even right to the end. You know, when it was time for me to go, it was done. When I look back on it, it was done on a really professional basis, and I just have huge admiration And that was, once again, that was some of the best years of my life coaching at Adelaide Footy Club, and I just absolutely loved it.
Mate, did I read somewhere that West Coast offered you a position through...
Oh, I think of, I don't know when it was, it would have been...
Early 2000s?
Yeah, probably, I don't know, 2002, I don't know when it was.
I reckon it was one or two,
Something like that. Their position had become vacant, and so there was a couple of interviews that I did there, but it just got to a stage where it just didn't work out, and you know, so it wasn't. I just felt it wasn't the right job for me at the time, and once again, a bit like the decision of the Footscray Footy Club, you know, I have no regrets. In actual fact, we went on and had some good battles with the West Coast Eagles, you know, so over the time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And as I alluded to earlier on, right at the start, you know, for all the bit we all cross and analyse, as I've got older, I reckon I've become more reflective, probably more honest and not so emotional about it. But, you know, we all sit, Craig, he failed in finals. Well, geez, Rue gets reported the last minor round game, so he misses the first final against St Kilda, where he only averaged about 45 touches against. And then the next year he gets bloody parvovirus. We've gone down, free kick against Tyson Edwards in the centre square when Simon Goodwood's streaming forward to pass to have a shot to possibly win the game. It is such a fine line for all the bit. Yes, do I think Matt Bowes should have started on the ground after half time in the prelim? Yes, but it is such a fine line.
And obviously,
Brady,
we're talking about 2005 where the minor premiership came in and then the two prelims.
It's such a fine line.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right. You know, so, but at the end of the day, you know, I guess when I reflect back on that, I'd 2005, we had a prelim final, got beaten over in Perth,
yep.
And probably not quite good enough, whereas I thought the prelim final when we played them West Coast in Adelaide, and with probably five goals up at half time, I actually thought that was the one that did get away. Yeah. We were good enough to beat them, and that was the one game that I thought we did let get away. So anyway, you take all that and you know it is what it is, and you just do your best at the time. But I guess the overriding point is what you're saying, Malcolm, is that try, when you're analysing it all, just leave the emotion, and leave the emotion out of it to a certain extent, and just try and look a bit deeper. And sometimes it's the same result, you know, it's the same assessment. Sometimes it's a bit different.
And I think, Craigie, there, it's actually credit to you, because I think it's a hell of a lot of us still wonder about that 2006 and B Cousin situation, et cetera. Leave it at that. But I think, you know, I've spoken about that with you before, and I just credit you that you're probably more balanced than a few of us on that one. So, yeah.
So it is what it is. And but the overriding assessment is that, I still think about the days. They were an absolute joy of my part of my footy career, is coaching the LA Footy Club. I absolutely loved it during my time there, and that includes both, you know, the start of Malcolm Blight in the conditioning side, the assistant coach with Gary Ayres, and then the 6 or 7 years as a senior coach. A great time of my life. And once again, you know, we talk about which is your club. Like, the Adelaide Crows is my club.
Yeah.
So Norwood, I reckon the combination of Norwood and Crows is pretty strong.
And I love Craig in this band. Craig is exactly – we have discussed this one as well. I love it with Craigie, where people say the coach hasn't got a plan B. And as Craigie says, you just block them. They've got no idea. Anyone who thinks any coach at the top level hasn't got plan A to Z has no idea, and just doesn't get it, that the half forward then pushes up for 5 minutes, drops off, the plus one. There's that many subtle changes people don't notice unless you're actually watching and understand. And – you know, the AFL playbook, having read one of those at one stage, and, you know, the terms, the blocker, the roamer, and the pusher, and it's terms which 99% of people would have no idea about.
As I said, there's a fair bit of smoke and mirrors involved in high performance.
And then you move on to the Melbourne Footy Club.
Yeah, so at the end of my time in Adelaide. So then I went to Melbourne for a couple of years, and I sort of once again got into sort of nomad movement again. So Melbourne for a couple of years, then the Essendon Footy Club for a couple of years, and then Carlton for a couple of years. Melbourne and Essendon were tough 4 years for me, because I had wrongly assumed, Pete, that all clubs were like the Adelaide Footy Club, and probably thought bigger and better, you know, in the state.
Yeah.
But I soon come to realise really, really quickly that not all clubs are the same, and certainly, you know, well, the Melbourne Football Club's I think the oldest footy club in the competition.
Yes.
And then the Essendon Footy Club is one of the pair big clubs in the AFL. And it just made me realise how lucky I was to be involved with the Adelaide Footy Club and be exposed to their environment and their culture. Because Melbourne and Essendon were tough environments to be in. But I wouldn't change it for the world, because it's really important to have the exposure. Otherwise, I'd be walking around in dream world, you know, thinking that everyone would be is at least as good as Adelaide, if not better. In actual fact, that's a long way from the truth. So to be exposed to that, to see it, you know, as I said, they were tough years. And probably towards my end of my time at Essendon, I'd sort of started to have lost my passion a bit for footy. It was really an uneasy time for me. And I was lucky enough to, from Stephen Trigg, I think was the CEO at Carlton at the time.
Yep.
And he made an offer to me to come to Carlton, and that was when Brendan Bolton was first appointed. And that sort of rekindled my passion and my enthusiasm again for the game. So I thank Stephen for that. One, because the way he operates, he creates an environment where, you know, it's got some values and it's got some self-worth, and you feel valued in the system. And so that really rekindled my enthusiasm. And once again, very lucky for those 2 years at Carlton, which is also a big club, I might add. But you know, each of those three clubs, Melbourne, Essendon, and Carlton, all got different styles and philosophies and for want of a better word, cultures about them. But my last 2 years at Carlton with Stephen and Brendan Bolton in particular were really enjoyable. And at the end of, I think, 2017 was when I started to do some work with Eddie Jones with England Rugby, which is pretty topical at the moment with Eddie. But
yeah.
Once again, you know, that sort of leads into our conversation that you don't have to be a technical expert to know about the sport to be able to work in the sport. So,
although you did go through the marking, trying to teach them about marking the high ball a bit more, Craigie, at one stage too.
Yeah. Well, it's a reasonably important skill in the game of rugby union, Malcolm. But it's coming out of AFL system, it makes you realise, we grow up with it. That's all we do from a young age, and then we practice it, as I said, 3 or 4 times a day when you're at school.
Yeah.
And so it's natural for us, but it's an unnatural movement for guys in rugby. So occasionally you get one or two that have got a real natural way they go about it. If I want, you know, it looks a bit like AFL style. You probably see it more in the NRL. In terms of the high ball, but anyway, there was one area of actual hands-on coaching, technical coaching that I got involved with, and a little bit of kicking as well. But it's difficult to change, you know, the skill level of kicking, because based on the time that you've actually got them at international level, we haven't got them for a long time. But anyway, so at the end of Carlton, 2017 was when sort of I had an opportunity to work in another sport at an international level. With a really you know, high level coach in Eddie Jones. And so in terms of my professional development, that's been a great period for a long period of time. And once again, we've seen the highs and the lows. I've been involved in the highs and the lows of that. Like in 2019, Eddie was able to get England to a level where they actually played in the final of a World Cup you know, yep. which is huge on the international stage.
Yep.
To just recently where, you know, with the Wallabies, probably, I think, for the first time ever, they didn't make the quarterfinals. So, yeah. you know, you get the exposure of the real highs in sport and also the lows, which is, once again, I keep saying are really important because then you've got the comparison, you know. So you don't, I don't wish on anyone to be in an environment where you never get exposed to winning. And I don't wish on anyone where you only get exposed to winning, because you don't get the comparison and you don't get the learnings, and there's learnings in both.
And how was the role then with mentoring Stewie Jew and with up the Gold Coast and
yeah.
that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's been an interesting time, and it's that's becoming more of a
role,
a recognised role in a whole range of sports, particularly at international level, with head coaches. Like a big part of my role with Eddie Jones is a mentor, is a listener, is a questioner, is a truth teller. It's a whole range of, like, it's just another support. And having done the job myself, Malcolm and Peter, and seeing it in other environments and other coaches utilizing people in those positions, there is no doubt in my mind whatsoever, none whatsoever, that if I had time again as an AFL coach, senior head coach, I would have someone in that role mm-hmm. with me.